when we're in a more loving state or appreciative state, these all these vibrational qualities of love, that's the information we're broadcasting. And that is measurably affecting others around us. And it can help lift them into a higher state or a more coherent or a composed state. When we do it together, especially when we do it together, there is an amplification effect. 1 + 1 is more than 2 in this case. There's a nonlinear amplification that puts a more coherent wave or signal into the global consciousness field, as I like to think of it, that then helps others wake up a little bit more or become more balanced, more loving, more appreciative, maybe a little kinder, these types of things.
Hello, I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Each month for the Ad Heart podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing individuals who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. This month, I'm talking with Roland McCready, Director of Research at HeartMath Institute, to share with us the scientific research HeartMath is doing to help love go viral. As HeartMath founder Doc Shuldry wrote, "The healing of separation is essential for a planetary shift into the next level of intelligence for humanity. And many people are feeling that life's events these days are shaking us awake to this requirement. And that it's our heart vibration that qualifies the difference between separation and feeling connected. Such an important issue. HeartMath's interconnectivity research is actually helping to validate that we are all energetically connected, and that increasing our love and care and compassion for each other is the next advanced mode of intelligent living. At recent count, over 400 independent studies and papers based on HeartMath Institute research have been published. So I want Roland to tell us all about where this is going. Welcome, Roland.
Well, thank you, Debbie. It's great to be back. I can think I did one of these with you maybe a year ago or something. I forget now, but it's been a while.
It has. Yes, we did it before our Love Unleashed program for the Global Coherence Institute, and a lot has unfolded since then. So maybe you can describe the results of the interconnectivity research you've done, and more importantly, the research you're planning, and how might that help love and compassion reduce separation and go viral?
Great question. And there's actually a number of ways that we're tackling this from a research perspective. And, you know, first let me say that, you know, one of the things I'm talking about, a lot of the presentations I've actually given this past year have been titled How Love Connects Us. And as you just said from Doc Shuldry, the founder of HeartMath, that separation is the biggest issue that I think humanity in general faces these days. Separation from our own larger self or higher self is what we call it, our larger self around here, and separation from others. Be the kind of the two main areas I see that. And this is where love plays a critical role in that it really reduces that separation and connects us both with our larger self, you know, for day-to-day guidance, you know, navigating the challenges and stresses of the world. But it also connects us with others, both locally and non-locally. And that's kind of what you're asking about. You know, and to me, you know, I think of love as a spectrum, a vibrational spectrum that includes things, the higher vibrations, the things that lift our consciousness, lift us into a higher vibration, you know, compassion, kindness, hard vulnerability, patience, you know, being able to access our higher dignity, wholeness, care, acceptance, these types of things, and many others. So I just wanted to kind of give that context. But and also think of love as intelligence. It's intelligent information that really underlies a lot of creation. And if that's true, then as we access these higher vibrational aspects of love, how can we measure that it does connect us with both our larger self and others, but also how does it interact with the physical world, right? So there, quite a few experiments over the past year that I could talk about. Probably won't go into all of them here, but One is the first one I'll talk about is a study that was just accepted for publication in one of the Nature journals, Scientific Reports. Got the acceptance email a couple days ago, so we're all happy about that one around here.
Congratulations. I
Yeah.
didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, I don't, well, only a handful of us do. We just got it. But this was a study, I'll be brief here, but where we did continuous heart rate variability or heart rhythm monitoring from over 100 people, groups of 20 in 5 countries around the world. And we did this continuous recording for 15 days. So it's a lot of heartbeats, right? A lot of data. And wasn't it from a mathematical analysis perspective, it was a challenging study to actually do. But what we, and this is a secondary analysis of a study we published last year, showing that when you're get into a heart coherent state, a heart lock-in using that technique for just 15 minutes, connected us. Well, everybody in the group, for the most part, from a statistics perspective, increased their own heart coherence. But they were also more significantly connected with each other in the group. Their heart rhythm synchronized within those 5 groups. And that was true across all 5 groups. But the surprise came that it seemed to connect us more with the Earth's rhythms itself, with the magnetic fields we all live in of the Earth. So just being in that coherent state for 15 minutes significantly increased our being in sync with the rhythms in the magnetic fields of the Earth over the next 24 hours. So just being coherent had a huge carryover effect of synchronizing us with ourselves, others, and the Earth itself. Now, this study that I just talked about that was just accepted was when we looked at the heart-to-heart synchronization. In other words, how synchronized are the heart rhythms of these individuals with the 20 individuals in each of the 5 groups? And over the 15 days. And worth noting here, Debbie, that this is significantly different than other studies on synchronization, physiological synchronization I'm talking about. Most of the studies, and this is really a new field that's really just getting off the ground, but there's still a lot of research that's happening. But most of the studies that are done, you do something to elicit the synchronization. You solve a puzzle together, you sing together. You're having some type of communication. During the communication, you look at synchronization, these types of things. And these studies are important because they show that physiologically, when we get in sync, whether it's our hearts or brain waves, that this is the ground state, if you will, or underlies prosocial behaviors. People get along better. There's deeper communication. We felt heard, increased psychological safety, all these kinds of feelings that we want to have. To be more connected with others and move forward, I think, as humanity. But this study was different in that you could think of it as free running, because these people in these groups, 20 people in each group, were just going about their normal days, right? The only thing they have in common, for the most part, is they live in the same geographical area, right? Whether that's Lithuania, Saudi Arabia, New Zealand, California, and the UK, where the groups were. Over these 15 days that we looked at. Now, what we found was really interesting, because we found that out of the 5 groups, 2 of them, and only two, well, first of all, the fact that we found that the groups were synchronized at all is amazing. But in 2 of the groups, there was significant synchronization, even though they're going about their normal days, right? Not like they're in a room together, hanging out for 15 days, anything like that. What separated the groups, the 2 groups that were in sync with each other across the 15 days, and the 3 groups that didn't, was their level of social connection, the heart connections amongst the group members. So in the 3 groups that didn't, a lot of the participants didn't know each other. There was no social connection. There was no positive emotional connections among them. And the 2 groups that had a high level, a higher level of that type of love, or one of those attributes above I was talking about, we did find it. So this implies a lot. And now, of course, I didn't put all this in the paper in a Nature journal. I'll probably do another paper on the theoretical meaning of all this. But what it suggests is that in groups that hang out together, that like each other, that form, you know, these type of love connections, whether that's kindness, compassion, safety. You know, we like hanging out. You have this connection, heart connection, that it forms a non-local field at the group level that interconnects that group. So you share information, and I would even say energy, amongst the group members. So you can kind of think of it like a group battery, you know, in a way. One person's down, they've got that energy, to that resource to draw on to help them, you know, navigate a challenge. And it's also key, I believe, to increase performance within a group, because you're sharing that non-local information. You know, and you see this all the time in high-performing groups, whether it's a sports team or a band or a concert. You know, the magical thing just happens where it just seems like everybody's in sync, you know, and communicating in these unseen ways. So that's one way. That's one study that we just published.
Let me ask you a question there. You know, when an orchestra or a sports team are interacting and they're in sync, they're together. But you mentioned the word non-local. These people are all going about their business and wherever they live, even if it was in the same city. Say
right.
A little bit more about the implications of that, because if love's going to go viral on the planet, there has to be some non-local effect.
Well, exactly. And then we can get into that more in a second as well. But it's why I think this is so significant of a study, the fact that it was that they were non-local. I mean, because they're not in the same room, right? They're just and going about their normal days, is showing that this other connection is happening. Because for a synchronization to happen, especially at the level we're talking about, there has to be an information or signal, some type of informational signal connecting all of those people in this case. And so it has to be non-local, right? Because as you say, you're quite correctly, they're not in the same room. And the key to that, which isn't unique to this study, we've seen this in other, as you know, we've done a number of synchronization type studies. How do we get in sync with each other in terms of physiologically and energetically? And it's but over and over again, the key factor is that positive, or you could call it love connection, one of those qualities of love I was talking about. That's the most important factor in whether we see that synchronization or not. And then the second most important factor is their ability to be coherent, heart coherent. So those are two important variables, but with the, you know, the love connection being the most important.
We know a lot of people these days are interested in science and spirituality, feeling that somehow science is going to be able to validate what we feel and spiritually connected to the universe, to the earth, to each other. And this synchronization research seems to be an important component of that, especially as you are seeing how maybe it can be amplified non-locally. I know that's been a main motivation.
Right. So that takes us in a different direction where I was going to go anyway. So then another way we're looking at love, in fact, one of my kind of favorite ones, if I'm honest here, is our newest, as you also know, Debbie, our kind of our newest, I think of it as tool in our toolbox for looking at global and non-local interconnections, is the Global Consciousness Project 2.0. And this is a project that we inherited, I guess you could say, from Dr. Roger Nelson, who founded the first GCP1 or Global Consciousness Project, probably getting close to maybe 30 years ago, 28 anyway, when he was at Princeton, which is a global network of what are called random number generators that are around the world. And I won't go into all the background of all this, but it's a project that ran formally for 20 years, where he looked at many hundreds of events, formal events, meaning that they were pre-registered and publicly what was going to be done and what was going to be looked at and so on. And it's now shown that well over 1 trillion to 1 odds against chance that when something evokes people, large numbers of people, usually some big event that makes, you know, global media, that synchronize people's emotions, that they're paying attention to the same event. And the key is emotions. When they're feeling something, It causes these devices, which you can think of basically as electronic coin flippers that are just, instead of heads or tails, they're creating ones or zeros, just doing it really fast at high speeds. But what happens when these enough people are feeling something is that these devices, even though they're separated by hundreds or thousands of miles in many cases, they start flipping ones and zeros, ones or zeros, I should say, at the same time in a correlated way over fairly long time periods. I mean, it can be hours in some cases, above and beyond what you could ever expect through random chance. So the reasons I actually agreed to take this on and create a whole new version of this, which we call GCP2, was Dr. Nelson's finding. He clearly showed that events that evoke love and compassion have a significantly greater, not just a little bit greater, effect on creating this, what we call network coherence, which is a fancy way of saying that all the devices start creating ones or zeros at the same time. That's a type of coherence, not to be confused with heart coherence. So, one of our new hypotheses, which is directly related to your comment and your question, Debbie, is that, well, let me back up a little bit here, because what Roger was able to show in GCP1 is that there is a correlation between the number of people involved in the event, the more people that are paying attention to it and feeling something, and the size, the magnitude of the change in behavior in this global network, which I think it was a global scientific instrument just spread around the world to measure the effects of our collective consciousness, or how our consciousness extends outside of us to interact with the physical world, because that's exactly what's happening. We're interacting with these physical devices. So one of our suggestions and new hypotheses in GCP2, that is why we had to build a new network to really be able to measure these more subtle things, is that it isn't necessarily just the number of people involved. In fact, what's likely even more important is how coherent the group is, and do they have a shared intention? So we've now done now to give that to say we've proven that it'll take some time, but a few experiments that we have been able to do so far are clearly supporting this suggestion, this hypothesis, that it's in fact, one of the experiments, I'll call it, that we did was with a relatively pretty small group, only a couple thousand people, but it was unique in that they had 6 months of weekly gatherings, like Zoom gatherings, to practice getting coherent, actually using one of the HeartMath apps, the Global Coherence app. So they were practicing that, and we always had the intention in the 6 months leading up to the experiment to get heart coherent and then have the intention to radiate love and compassion into the global consciousness field to raise the baseline consciousness of humanity. So when we did the experiment, it's a beautiful graph. I mean, you see the network coherence kind of being around zero, normal where it normally is, and it just shot up right when the meditation started and went up out of what we call the significance envelope. So it's a great example when that a pretty small group of people can have a global effect in terms of creating, I think of it as a coherent wave through the global consciousness field.
Right. That's
And there's a couple, I
beautiful.
won't go into them, but there's other experiments like that with relatively small that we've had significant results from. So
Are
it's
you publishing any of that one you just talked about?
that I think data is published in a paper we wrote that kind of introduced the Global Consciousness Project 2.0, which is available on the heartmath.org website. Forget the title of it right now, but it'd be in that section on global coherence.
Great. What is the URL of the Global Consciousness Project website for
It
people?
is GCP, GCP.net, NET.
Great. So if
Oh,
people
I'm
want
sorry,
to.
GCP2. I'm sorry, I left out the two. That's an important part.
Okay.
GCP2.net. Yeah.
Wonderful. So if you want to dig more into the research, you can look at that. And hopefully, science and this research and other research will inspire many more people to practice increasing the love flowing through their system for connecting with each other, solving problems, improving performance, but connecting with their own hearts, larger self, intuitive direction, And what I hear Roland saying is practicing heart coherence between heart, mind, and emotions can help release the separation and blame we see going on in the world. And people expand their spectrum of love, including kindness and compassionate care and their love radiation. That's the vision that I certainly hold for helping love go viral. What else would you like to say, Roland, about how you envision love, compassion, and heart going viral on the planet?
Well, I mean, we do the research that we're talking about and some other experiments I haven't talked about yet to prove science through rigorous scientific approaches that love matters, that what we feed the field is a saying that's kind of emerged in the global consciousness work. It seems very popular because it just makes so much sense. Really does matter in that. So let me say this way, that other experiments we've done show that, you know, of course, a lot of people that listen to your podcast know now that the heart radiates a measurable magnetic field that we can measure, quite a ways away from the body, and that the information being carried by that field is directly related to our emotional state. So we can stick a sensor out here in space around you without ever touching the body and measure the magnetic field and then demodulate or look at the information being carried by that field and tell what somebody's feeling, even if they really want to. So what this literally means is that what we feel inside doesn't stop at the skin. I mean, of course, it affects us and our health and our longevity and all these vitality and all these things, of course. But we're also broadcasting or radiating these emotions into the field. And also experiments that we've done and others now as well show that there's a big so what to that in terms of other people are like antennas to this information, and that it can have measurable effect on others. So when we're in a more loving state or appreciative state, vibrational qualities of love, that's the information we're broadcasting, and that is measurably affecting others around us, and it can help lift them into a higher state or a more coherent or composed state as well. But that doesn't stop there, because when we talk about the global consciousness data and some of the other experiments is suggesting that, like one of the first experiments I talked about today, that it's connecting us with the fields of the earth. So now it's when it becomes global. So what the GCP2 data is showing is that when we do it together, especially when we do it together, there is an amplification effect. So 1 + 1 is more than 2 in this case. There's a nonlinear amplification that puts a more coherent wave or signal into the global consciousness field, as I like to think of it, that then helps others wake up a little bit more or become more balanced, more loving, more appreciative, maybe a little kinder, these types of things.
It's wonderful. And lift the vibration. Well, that's the hope. And we can all contribute to that in our choices and actions. But let's do a heart meditation together right now for increasing our love radiation and to help more people do the same and put it into the field to increase that vibration of love in the planetary field. Okay, let's focus in the heart, sit quietly, and just breathe consciously. And on the in-breath, imagine breathing in divine love throughout your being. And on the out-breath, just radiate the feeling of gratitude for something or someone in your life. As you do this, see your heart, brain, and nervous system, your mind and emotions aligning in harmony and coherence. As we practice this, it lifts the vibration of your spirit as it helps to bring heart, mind, emotions, and body into more of that coherent alignment and stillness which creates an energetic conduit for the love and guidance from your larger self to integrate more easily into your day-to-day interactions. So this simple practice can be very powerful. Just be patient while getting the feel of this process. You can repeat it. But without patience, our minds tend to expect too much too quick, and then we give up disappointed. But this is something to really be your own self-scientist and practice this. Now envision yourself practicing heart qualities such as love, compassion, kindness, gratitude, forgiveness that keep us coherent. See yourself practicing this in day-to-day life. These heart qualities nurture our system and release stress, despair, fear projections. They bring a lift in spirit that helps us move through challenges with compassion and in a higher vibration of love instead of fear. It's this heart connection with ourselves and each other that heals and creates a new baseline for personal and global mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Now let's radiate our collective heart energy, our collective love and compassion to all the people and nations on the planet suffering from divisiveness, separation, trauma, wars, natural disasters, and other major stressors going on. Let's just radiate our collective love and compassion into the field to all the people and nations. Now let's close by radiating and co-creating a reservoir of compassionate, loving heart energy that each of us can tap into over the next month when we need a lift in spirit or some clarity from our heart's intuitive guidance. See this reservoir building as we radiate our love and compassionate heart energy into it. And have it available to us as we need it. Thank you so much for sharing that heart meditation with each other and with me. Roland, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think, Debbie, based on what you just did, that lovely meditation you led us through, and what I was sharing earlier. I just invite everyone listening to pause as often as you can throughout the day, as much as you can remember to, and even set some reminders if you need to on your phone or watch or whatever. Or a favorite way that one of my friends does is every time they walk through a threshold, a doorway, that's their reminder to take up an inner pause and just ask yourself, what am I feeding the field? And if you find that you're feeding the field maybe with some lower vibrations, frustration or anxiety or fear or just feeling separate, that you just take a moment, do some heart focused breathing, really connect with your heart, and shift that vibrational frequency to appreciation or gratitude or forgiveness, compassion, whatever that might be in the appropriate moment, so that we're all then contributing to helping love go viral in our own way.
Beautiful. So I would like to invite all of you who are interested in learning more and continuing to learn more about the research and the whole movement of Help Love Go Viral. There's going to be another Love Unleashed event, April 10th to 13th next year, 2025. And stay tuned because there'll be information on that pretty soon on the websites. And as a free gift to our listeners, I want to remind you that you can watch the interactive HeartMath experience, an online video course, if you want to learn more HeartMath techniques, or check out the amazing new HeartMath app at your app store or the Global Coherence app. There's many ways you can participate to increase your heart coherence level and contribute to the global field. And remind you that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new At Heart podcast episode. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Take care and thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the At Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for HeartMath and also the HeartMath Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.